During World War II, not these ships, but I use that as representation, a military convoy was traveling in the Pacific. And they got close to some islands and they had some major engine failure. And normally they did not stop at night because of submarines, but they were forced to. So they got in close to the islands, but being close to the islands, they didn't want to run aground. And so they'll stop here for the night, go weigh anchor, and start in the morning. The fearful night, threat of the submarines, nobody was really sleeping too well. The morning came. The captain came on deck, asked how the watch, how things had gone. And they said, "Oh, they went fine, no problem." He said, "Well, there is a problem." They said, "What's that?" "Where are the islands?" They weren't there anymore. They had disappeared. Somebody forgot to put down the anchor. So all night long, they had drifted along. A number of years ago, we were in Destin, Florida. I thought I would give Suzanne a surprise, so I rented a pontoon boat. We didn't go out on the ocean. You don't go out on the ocean in a pontoon boat unless you've got a death wish. But there was a bay close by, pretty good size. It was about 17 miles across. And we went out on the bay. We were watching the dolphins and we were watching people, not supposed to, but they were feeding the dolphins and we were having a good afternoon. And the rocking of the boat and the sunshine, and we got sleepy. We decided we would take a nap. Now, luckily, it had a cover over it, so there was shade. So we dropped anchor. We got all set and we went to sleep. We woke up a couple hours later. I said, "Suzanne, we've got a problem." She said, "What's that?" "We aren't where we were." "How come? Didn't you put down the anchor?" "Yeah, put down the anchor." And I started to pull up the anchor a while ago and we don't have an anchor. It had come loose. And we had drifted for a couple of hours. Now, luckily, there wasn't any great danger there. I'm glad there wasn't a waterfall, because many people have gone over a waterfall because they drifted too close and couldn't stop. Drifting is a danger. Drifting is a danger. You don't always recognize you're doing it, but it happens. Hopefully we'll have better luck tonight with it. I think they do this just for aggravation purposes. Does it light up, Brandon? Hey, we got the go light. Recognize that as a pontoon boat. We didn't rent another one. No, it wasn't dangerous, but it could be. It could be. If we had drifted the wrong direction, we could have drifted out into the ocean, and then it would have been a catastrophe. Here's the question. Are you drifting? Most people don't recognize when they are. That's a danger. And it's a danger that happens to all of us. I think back over my life, and I know many times I have drifted away. Drifted away from what I should be, what I could be, and what God would have me to be. Luckily, I don't say luckily, I don't like to use that term. Fortunately or blessed, I was able to find my way back with the help of some people. So I once again was back in a relationship with God, with comfort and with strength. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Learned a lot of things in my life. I've forgotten a lot of things in my life. Scriptures are part of those. We don't constantly study, refresh our mind, keep in tune to God's word. It's amazing you forget. You let it slip. It's not uncommon. But if you're drifting, we don't always recognize it. But drifting doesn't take any effort. All you have to do is just quit. Quit rowing, quit paddling, quit tacking with the sail. Guess what? The boat will start drifting away. Huh? It's an unconscious process. You never drift upstream, by the way. Only did that once, and that was because I had a fish on the line, and I'm glad I didn't land that fish. Remember the story of the old man in the sea? He had a fish on his line, and it kept pulling him across the ocean. I had one once that pulling me upstream. It got dark. I turned him loose. You have to constantly be adding. You have to constantly be fighting. You constantly have to be struggling. You constantly have to be doing to keep from drifting. You have to continue to grow. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and it continues on. We have to continue to add to our lives those things that God has given us that we might grow thereby. You don't grow unless you start adding these things. If you don't add them, I can tell you what's going to happen. You'll slowly slide, drift away. There are many in this country, there are many in this city that have drifted away from the truth. No longer follow the will of God. No longer even attend the services. No longer have an interest in the things that are heavenly in purpose. And I don't want that to happen to anyone. I had lots of thoughts that went through my mind in developing this lesson. What will I preach? This will probably be my last opportunity. You just speak here. And I have hundreds of things I'd love to say. But I want you to remember to stay strong. Don't drift from the truth. I hope in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, you will not only be part of a congregation, but you will be a strong member of a congregation, active and alive and vibrant, and producing for the cause of God. Drifting doesn't require, as I said, any effort at all. And it's amazing. You start drifting and it increases. You'll start off just a little bit. Then it just gets faster, faster. So you've drifted away, sometimes even into danger. It's a danger to others Ephesians 6, verse 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children, if not taught properly, if not trained properly, will not be prepared for the onslaught, the tide of evil that comes against them, that will wash them away into oblivion, unless they're taught and they're prepared. And that's not just the responsibility of parents, although they have a grave responsibility in that. The folks, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, third cousins, second, fifth cousins all have that responsibility if you're a member of the church. To teach, that's part of our responsibility. Teach, that's a major word. We teach those that are lost. We teach and edify those that have been saved to grow continually in the Word of God. And so we have an obligation to try to still to stabilize these young people and young couples and old couples, that they do not drift away from the truth. We're in a day and time when I weep because of the state of the church. We have those that are doing things in the name of Christ and of the church that are contrary to the scriptures. Didn't think it ever happened. Did you see they've drifted away from the truth? So we practice things that are wrong. We teach things that are wrong because they drifted away from a standard. Where I grew up in Joplin, by the school, there is a steel post driven into the ground. And on the top of it is a bunch of writings and markings and numbers. And it's a surveyor mark for that whole part of the county. They want to go back to the truth, they go back to that post, folks. When we want to go back to the truth, we go back to the Word of God, which is grounded firm and deep in truth, that we might hold to it, not drift from it. Been in California a few times, not in a major one, but if you're in California, you're going to be in earthquakes. I don't like earthquakes. I like my ground to stay solid. Do you know what you do when the ground starts shaking? You try to find something solid to hang on to. Folks, when the ground starts shaking around us spiritually, we need to find something to hang on to, and that's the Word of God. Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine, but by the sly of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. Satan's number one weapon is deception. So it's clear all back to Genesis. Remember Eve? He deceives. He doesn't make things appear as they truly are. Religious world's in that great confusion today. Sometimes even members of the church. We need to go back to a truth. God gave truth to Adam and Eve. The truth was, the day you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. The truth. Couldn't change it. Couldn't alter it. Even with the knot in the devil's tail, it didn't change. He said, you'll not die. Folks, we have to make sure that I'm holding to that truth, that I'm not tossed about by every wind that comes along. Somebody asked you something about the scriptures. Do you say this or that is what it says? Or do you say, well, I don't know that right now, but I'll find out for you. There's truth out there, and we need to declare it, not be tossed about by everything that comes along and says it of the Bible. Not a lot of it of the Bible, but of men. in a plane, the wind and the gravitational force move the plane without you really always realizing it. Have you noticed that? Same is true in the spiritual realm. We sometimes slowly drift away. If you were to aim for the moon and you were off a micromillimeter, how far do you think you'd miss it? Folks, we're aiming for eternity, and I don't want to miss it. So our aim has to be true. Our direction has to be true. We can't drift in our knowledge. We can't drift in our purpose. We can't drift in our work. We can't drift in any aspect of our Christian life. Drifting can end in shipwreck. They were lucky, those sailors that time in the sea of the Pacific Ocean. They didn't drift into the islands and into a danger and into a shipwreck. But folks, we can. We can. Hebrews 2. Look at verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. What you've heard from the Word of God, do you really pay attention to it? Do you really give heed to it? Oh, we've heard it so many times. Lest at any time we should let them slip, for if the word was spoken by angels, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which began at first to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? God's word was true, and it had to be followed completely, fully, totally. That which was spoken by the angels, or that which is spoken by the prophets, spoken by men in the past. Then we have Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. Now we have that which is spoken by the word of the Son of God. How much more so are we going to be required to adhere to it, not let it pass from us? How many times have we said, well, you know, that's not all that important? You know, there's nothing about the Christian life that's not important. There's nothing about the Word of God that's not important. Nothing about our relationship with God that's not that important. It's the most important thing that we engage in. What are some common signs that we're drifting? Sometimes we don't know that we are. But diminishing desire. Are you as on fire? Do you have as much love? Do you have as much interest now as you've had previously? I love it when an individual is obedient to the gospel. They're usually just on fire. They're ready to do anything. Now they need direction. They need to be taught. But sometimes, if we don't watch it, we let that flame flicker out. The Bible is a unique book. It is the source of information from God. God doesn't give us what we don't need. He doesn't teach us what we don't need to learn. If there's a diminishing desire in my wanting to study, to read, to know God's will, I'm drifting away from the flame. Do I have as much desire to study right now? Or has it increased? It should. We should have a greater desire tomorrow and the next day and the next day to know more and more of God's holy word. Shortly after his time of fasting, Christ was brought face to face with Satan. And he faced three temptations, that which we all face, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vainglory of life. How do you face them? You ever notice how he did? He answered each one with the word of God. Why do we need to study? So I know how to face Satan. He comes in all different kinds of sources, all different kinds of times. He comes in the times of our lives when we least expect it. And I need to know what God would tell him. Not what I would tell him, what God would tell him. That God's revelation, we truly don't know anything. We're spending billions, trillions of dollars trying to figure out the beginning of man. All you have to do is turn to Genesis 1, 2, what's his purpose? Had a young man ask me that question not too long ago. All I have to do is turn to Ecclesiastes. We're here on earth, man placed here, created of God, for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve God and to keep his commandments. It's not to get out of life all that I can. It's not to have all the pleasures that I can possibly evoke into my life. My purpose is God. We forget that. We get tied up in our own interests. We get tied up in our own desires. We get tied up in our own lives. And we forget, I am here to be a servant to God. First and foremost, a servant to those that surround me, following the example of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. We're here to serve. When I lose interest in that, then I've lost my direction. I'm starting to drift into the thoughts and the attitudes of the world instead of the things of God. Blessed be the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth the fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Very first song, very first verse. Here's what we're about. Or are we? Some people know better how to operate their iPhones than their Bibles. Dig it a little bit there. There's nothing that we should know better, more fully, more completely than the Word of God. We have the ability. A young man told me once, I can't learn the books of the Bible. He could give me every player on the St. Louis Cardinal baseball team, their batting averages. Probably could even tell me the color of their hair and what they had for lunch. He couldn't memorize the Bible. Huh? We memorize, we learn, we study what we're interested in. Prayer is a wonderful, wonderful blessing of God that we fail to utilize. It's a tool that God has given us. It's a help, it's a strength that God has given us. And we just lay it aside, not utilize it as we should. Jesus, who loved his Father, who knew the Father, knew the things of God, that's what he did. He prayed. In the morning, rising up, great while before day, he went out and departed unto a solitary place and there prayed. If the Son of God, God brought forth on the earth, needed prayer, what makes me think I need any less? I need more. Prayer. Prayer. Communication with God. I enjoyed having a conversation with Ron, a conversation with Joe, a conversation with Ryan. You know, those are different. In the conversation I had with God. He's special. I'm not saying no, I'm special folks. I'm not. But he's special. He knows me better than anybody. He even knows me better than myself. He knows my needs. He knows my desires. He knows my hopes. And there's nothing that I can't bring before him. He probably already knows it, but he wants us to bring these things. I can't imagine what it was like to be in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening and to walk with God. Can you? You see that as a very comforting time? Pleasurable time, a strengthening time. I do. As we talk with God in prayer, these things are brought forth. When he had sent them away, he needed some alone time sometimes. You ever need alone time? He needed alone time with his Father. Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought occasionally to pray when they get an opportunity, don't have anything else to do, and they're bored out of their gourd. Nope. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up. He taught a lot of parables about praying, didn't he? God wants us to talk to him. He wants us to pray. He wants us to lean on him. There's a song I love. It's called Learning to Lean. I have people that comfort me, strengthen me, but there's nobody that I can lean on like my Heavenly Father. When Christians pray less and less, they're drifting farther and farther. We think about Daniel and the practice that he prayed 3 times a day. You know, by the way, the Jewish law said they were supposed to pray 5. But do you pray 5 times a day? Well, I don't eat that often. Some people don't even pray before they eat. Oh, we can be an example even in that. When we're in public and God has blessed us with food that we're about to eat and we give thanks, how often have people commented on it? Because we're an influence. I have so many things. So many things that I can thank God for. I have so many things that I look to Him for help and strength. I love my God. Do you have a diminished desire to be with God's people? Now, this congregation's pretty sound in their desire to be together to worship Him. I appreciate that. But do you find more time to be with brothers and sisters in Christ or more time to be with those that are in the world, which has your greater interest? There's an old saying, you know, God said, well, I don't want to go to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. Okay. So you don't want to go and be with hypocrites for a period of time and serve God. You just want to be with hypocrites and serve Satan throughout all eternity. Folks, it's great when we come together. We sing songs that just tear me up. You know, I'm emotional. Seems like very much so right now. All this mood. Where we talk about being together in song. Talk about our fellowship. We talk about the love that we have for one another. And that touches me deeply. Psalms 122. I am glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad when you can come together to worship God, to be in God's presence, but to be in the presence also of your brothers and sisters in Christ? I've known some places people didn't always get along with brothers and sisters in Christ. I have some questions about that. If they can't get along for a few years on earth, what are they going to do throughout all eternity? Folks, we are part of a family. And that's not a family that's going to just last for a year or two or three or four. It's a family that's going to last throughout all eternity. I'm thankful for every member of that body. Gotten sidetracked. I'm going to have to finish up here pretty quick. Do you have a diminishing desire of sharing the gospel? There is a sad truth. There are billions that are living today that are going to die and go to an eternal punishment. And we want to absolve ourselves of any responsibility. When we get to thinking like that, folks, we have drifted. We have drifted from scriptures like the Great Commission, go into all the world. Teach. Well, you might not go to India. You might not go to Africa. You might not go to Zimbabwe. There's another question. Have you gone next door? Folks, when we have no interest in telling people the good news, we have become so selfish and so cold and so like the world and drifted away from the love of God. We should desire to let them know, because I do not want them continuing the path they're going. I could go for the rest of the night, but I won't. Somebody will push somebody out the window and then we're in trouble because I can't raise him up like Paul. But don't fall away. Don't drift away. People don't one day just decide, I don't want anything to do with God. Walk out the door and never come back. They drift away. They slowly, slowly move farther and farther away from the love that they have for God. And Satan takes over their love and their life. Wow. Been a little lesson, but it's got huge ramifications. Don't drift. I wanted to spend some time telling you how to keep from it. One, study. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Study. Pray. Pray. I'll tell you what, a praying person, one that diligently is giving their hearts, submitting unto the will of God, praying in behalf of those that surround them, those that are brothers and sisters in Christ, those that are lost, that person doesn't drift away. Be active in the work that God has given us to do. I can't be as active as I once was. Something's happened to my body. It's gotten old. It's gotten weak. And it's, like the guy said, about ready to fade away. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go without a fight against Satan, a fight against being unconcerned, a fight against drifting away. But I want to always be found strong in the Lord. Do you as well? If you've never been obedient to the gospel, this opportunity is yours. This opportunity is yours to turn in obedience to God's commandments concerning salvation, to repent of your sins, confess Christ as Lord, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. But having done that revelation too, we have to remain faithful. And not drifting away, we remain faithful. We're struggling. We're constantly striving to be stronger and closer to God every day of our lives. Are you closer to God right now than you've ever been in your life? I hope so, but if not, won't you turn back to Him? Seek His forgiveness. If you've never been obedient, become a child of God, added to the family of God, that's your opportunity as well. Let's together we stand. As we sing.